And I thought, oh my goodness, that's what I get for volunteering. And this is a hard one for me. And he went on to tell me that he has traveled the world over. He's bought beautiful furnishings from all over the world. They were all in storage. He said, I have a home, but I've nowhere to put it, and I've nobody to share it with. So I said, well, to begin with, we would know as Christian Scientists that your happiness and joy and satisfaction and contentment are not depending on another person. That your happiness and joy and contentment come to you from God, and they're yours by reflection. We talked this way for a couple of hours, and everything I said, he was saying, well, I could accept that, I could believe in that, and so forth. And finally, this man took me home from the party. And the next morning, my friend telephoned me, and she said, what did you do to this young man? He was at my door at 8 o'clock this morning, and he asked me for the Christian Science textbook and said that he wants to read it. And I forgot to mention that our little society that we had in Singapore, we only had 8 members, and they were all female. And every time we wanted to move some furniture or move anything heavy, there was no man around. And one of our members suggested that we have inspirational meetings and pray for male members to see that we had a right to see the male of God's creating as well as the female. That we had a right to see male qualities all around us. And we were all praying this way. Well, this young man began to come to our church. And finally, after about 5 weeks, he came with a young lady. And before I left Singapore, they were engaged. And we got 3 other members for our church, male members. One member, her husband was a movie director. And one of our members who played the organ, it was an old treadle organ, which she had to pump with her feet, and in the heat in Singapore, it was hard work. And one time she had said to us that we really should pray about an organ. And this member's husband came to her one day and said, would your church like an electric organ? He said, because our little theater has an organ, and we don't really have room for it. And we only use it about once every 2 months. So if your church would take it from us, we'd give it to you, but we rent it back when we need to rent it. But we'll always rent it on a weekday when you won't need it. So he began to come to the church to see how the organ was doing. And he became a member. And we had 3 other members. Now, that was a great lesson for this belief of loneliness, that I'd been feeling so lonely myself and like a fish out of water, and how that was all turned around into a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. The other occasion happened when I was asked to speak at a seminar in London about my work with the Christian Science Monitor. And I went to this big London church, which was packed with people. And they were all very la-di-da Londoners. And I was feeling like a fish out of water there too. And I noticed that all the people who had to speak before me all had their briefcases and all had their notes beautifully typed up. And I didn't have a note. And I didn't have anything written down. And I was wishing I hadn't come. And I thought, I'm in my wrong place. When I remembered the other story in Singapore, and I began to know that we were all one. We're all one in Christ. We're all members of the same body. And just as I began to know that, a woman 2 seats up from me leaned over and asked me where I came from. And I said, from Belfast. And she said, oh, do you know a woman called Myrtle Smith? And I said, that's me. And she said, Well, I can hardly believe that. She said, I'm a practitioner, and a year ago I gave her some help, and I've always wanted to meet her, and I had wanted to meet this practitioner too. When all of a sudden, somebody in the seat in front of us turned round and said, did I hear somebody mention Myrtle Smith? She said, do you remember me? I was in Singapore with you all those years ago. And she said, there are three more people from Singapore here. So she took me down at the interval and introduced me again to these people that I'd met in Singapore. And that was another lesson on this sense of loneliness that we have to get rid of. Instead of wanting a friend, we need to want to be a friend and to see everybody as part of ourselves. So that was a good lesson for me, and it's helped me to overcome a lot of loneliness in my own life. And I would like to see us as Christian Scientists praying more for the lonely of this world. Now, another problem that we all have is one of physical disease. And I know that a lot of people listening to me today might have had a problem for a long time and have worked and prayed, but they don't seem to be getting any answers. Well, I've just come through such a problem myself. About 7 or 8 months ago, I was preparing to come back to California. I was at home, and I was preparing to come back to California. And a friend and I went into town and actually bought my tickets for me to come back. And the very next morning, I had a stroke. It seemed to hit me out of the blue, and it was very serious. My friends and I had been planning to go to England for a holiday. We'd rented a cottage, and I told them to go ahead, and I would follow with one of my daughters a few days later. But I steadily got worse and worse until finally my children put me into a hospital. I was there for 3 days when I came to myself and wanted to be out of there and insisted that I get out of there because I knew my healing wasn't there or wasn't in that way. And I came home and I just seemed to get worse as the days went on. My friend stayed with me for 5 weeks and was a great and tremendous help to me. I don't know what I would have done without her. But when she went away, I seemed to get worse. And I had the belief that I was going to pass on. They had told me in the hospital that I would pass on very soon because not only did they tell me that I had a stroke, but they seemed to throw the book at me, and they told me at everything under the sun, and that they thought that I wouldn't last very long. I wasn't able to do things for myself. I wasn't able to walk around or do anything. It was difficult even to lie. And I was trying to pray, but I honestly couldn't. I seemed to have lost the will to pray. And I'd lost the belief that I was going to get better. And the months went steadily on, and my practice, which has always been a very busy practice, suddenly went down to zero. My practice is my only source of income, so I was suffering financially as well as every other way. And I was so weak and so tired, and I knew that my family were terribly worried about me, because I had lost so much weight and looked awful. And I really felt that I was forgotten because I wasn't getting many phone calls or not too many letters from America, which I'd been used to getting. I really felt that I was forgotten. And I think that that was part of my problem. I went back to this loneliness feeling again and feeling very lonely and isolated. And I had friends in America who were praying for me. And I know it was their prayers that brought me through. I had to tell the mother church that I had been in hospital. And they told me that I had to take my name out of the journal because this is the rule. And I'm simply telling you this because there have been so many rumors gone round about me that I want you to hear it from the horse's mouth, just what did happen. That's why my name is out of the journal, and for no other reason is it out of the journal. But I finally began to feel a little bit better, but not exactly like my own self. I wasn't on top of things. And then one day I had a call from a man who had suffered a stroke, and he'd had it for a year, and I could hardly make out what he was saying. His talking was so bad on the phone, and he seemed to be in desperation, and he asked me for help. And at first I thought, there's no way I could help this man when I'm suffering from the same belief. But then I thought that that's not right. And I knew from experience that the best way to help myself is always to help others. So I began to pray for the man, who began to make great strides and was soon able to talk to me. And I think that's when my own healing began.